welcome to the Northern Affinity Podcast. My name is Michael Edwards, and I am the host of the podcast and the founder of Northern Affinity. So I set the Northern Affinity up to bring together a community of business professionals and give them the platform they deserve to demonstrate their amazing skills, talents, and experience. And in this podcast and in the second series, we will speak to those people about three different areas. We will speak to them about collaboration, we'll speak to them about values, and we'll speak to them about aspirations. We will hear what these three things mean to our guests, how it drives them in what they do, and what role those three things play on a day-to-day basis. We hope you enjoy this episode. So I'm delighted to say on the podcast today that we are joined by Jason Thelwell. So welcome to the podcast, Jason.
Cheers, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no worries at all. It's my pleasure. And so before we do talk about the areas that we talk about on the podcast around values, aspiration, and collaboration is where we'll start. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself so everyone knows who you are and what you do and that type of thing.
So we established ourselves at Bayani Law back in 2014, so seven years in now, and still haven't got a 7-year itch, which is quite good. So Bayani Law, we're quite unique, really, in the sense that we're a solicitor's practice, a law firm that purely specialises in one aspect of law, which is employment law and HR. And that's quite unusual, as a lot of solicitors' practices, law firms, general practices. They'll dabble in all aspects of law. And when Bayani Law was set up, what Jay Bayani wanted to do was to create a specialist law firm where HR and legal can sit side by side. So what tends to happen is, if you're a small business or a large business wanting extra support, you'll tend to do is you'll either go to a HR provider, or when things get a little bit more technical and the waters get a little bit more muddy, then you'll go and see an employment lawyer. So what we try to do and what we try to create is to have, I don't like the phrase one-stop shop, but essentially that's it. You know, you've got HR advisors and employment lawyers working together, which from a client point of view is much easier, so they can deal with the same company right the way throughout a process of employment law. And for the clients, it's more cost effective to do that as well. So we opened in Sheffield in 2014. We've recently opened in Leeds as well, as we're in Leeds City Centre. And a few months back, we opened in Leicester. So we're venturing down into the East Midlands now as well. So exciting times, going through quite a bit of growth and expansion, and also add in one or two additional services onto our offering as we go along. You know, once we sort of start talking to clients and understand what they need and want from us, then we can start sort of adding on various different services that they might want as well. Busy sort of 12, 18 months, you can probably imagine, within the world of HR and employment law, but we're still here and we still live to tell the tale.
Oh, absolutely, that's great. And so we're recording this on the 1st of July, so it's actually the first day of the furlough scheme winding down today, hopefully for the final time. I know there's been a few false dawns with that. One question, are you sick of hearing the word furlough?
The F word? Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose in some respects we are, but what a godsend, you know, for a lot of people. What an absolute godsend. And you know, listen, I'm not a politics man. You know, I'm not one that will follow politics with a great eye for detail. But you know, one thing I think this government did get right was absolutely that. You know, it saved a lot of jobs, a lot of livelihoods. You know, it has been a godsend. And quite ironically, you know, back in sort of February, March of 2020, when all this kicked off and all of our clients were picking up the phone saying, look, you know, what's this furlough? We'd never heard of furlough before. You know, nobody had ever heard of it.
Isn't it Americanized?
Everybody across the pond. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'd not heard of it. And so quickly we're having to sort of do our own revision and understand it. And then, of course, as you said, you know, the goalposts have moved, so one day we can be given a piece of advice to a client, and then the next week it's changed again. And so it's been an absolute nightmare for our guys to keep up with it all, but you know, we managed to do it, and you know, it's here till end of September. Will it continue after that? I'm not a gambling man, but I would suggest not. I think we're probably now coming to the end of it completely, and which, you know, in some respects is a good sign, because hopefully things are improving if we can start to take away some of these plugs that we've kind of set a hold. So but the new buzzword beginning with F now, Mike, is furloughitis. That's the new on the HR employment law now. So thankfully not everybody's got it, but you know, it's a minority, but I'm sure we'll quash that in the next 3 months.
Hopefully so. Yeah, and I guess it's one of those things now, we've done it. People are all associated, like people like yourself have implemented it and worked on it. If we do have to do something like that again, it probably in theory will be smoother than it maybe was 15 months or so ago.
And like a lot of things, Mike, you know, I think you know, now we're 18 months in, we're more educated around these sort of things, aren't we? You know, and we're ready for it now. You know, if God forbid, if there's another huge third or fourth or fifth, whatever spike we're on now, you know, you lose track. But you know, if there's another, you know, huge pandemic that happens, and fingers crossed it never does, but you know, probably as a country and as an economy, we're a little bit more prepared for these things now, and we perhaps know how to meander our way through it than we would have done, you know, 18 months, 2 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it makes sense. And I imagine our first subject area of collaboration has been something you've done quite a bit of in the last year or so. And you obviously, you kind of hinted it really with your business, that collaboration between the legal and the HR side of things internally as well. So really simple question to start with. What does collaboration mean to you?
I think collaboration is twofold, really. I think, you know, working with your peers and other experts in other sectors and fields, I think you can, you know, we benefit from that as a business, but I think also our clients benefit from that as well, you know, because I think there's one thing about collaboration for me is you know, when I'm talking to an existing client, and you know, they might ask me something that is loosely related to HR employment law, but we don't provide that service. So, for example, somebody might be talking to us about payroll, having issues around payroll, which is linked to HR, but we don't provide payroll. You know, we're not accountants. You know, we're not experts in that field. And so I think for our clients, it's much easier for me to sit there and say, well, look, you know, I can't particularly help with that, but, you know, have a trusted pool of people that we go to who can provide, you know, the expert advice that you need. And so, you know, I think our clients benefit from that because they're not having to spend the time shopping around, talking to people that they don't know, they've never come across before. They want somebody who they can trust. And, you know, and I think collaboration is about that, isn't it? It's the trust word, you know, it's being able to recommend somebody and say, look, you know, speak to this guy, you know, they know what they're talking about, they'll look after you. And I think as a company ourselves, I think we probably have more credibility in doing that than actually sitting there saying to somebody, oh, I'm sorry, that's not our field, we can't help you.
Absolutely. It's one of my frustrations around this is that some people we all know who maybe collaboration isn't part of their what they do. And that, you know, that's fine, everyone has a different way of working. But purely from a selfish point of view, if you're recommending or working with other professionals that your customers then using, it actually makes your proposition stronger, and it also probably less likely for them to leave you and go to somewhere else if they've kind of you've got essentially a extended team of people working with their business.
And that's essentially it, isn't it? It is like having an extended expertise that you can just, you know, it's somebody once described it as having a bit of a toolbox, you know, and you get, you know, whatever tool you need, you'll get out of that box and you know, it serves that purpose. And that's exactly what it is. And that's exactly what it should be, you know. And yeah, you know, probably a lot of people might sort of say, well, you know, we get work back. And of course we do. That's how collaboration works, you know. But I think more so it's about making sure that, you know, we can help our clients. And as you rightly said earlier on, it's retaining their, you know, their clientship to us as well. You know, if they know that they can turn to us, not necessarily just for HR and employment law, but for a raft of different sort of services and expertise that they need, then they're more likely to sort of say, well, you know, look, you're an integral part of what we do, and we don't want not to work with you. You know, we want to stay with you forever. And and that's a good thing about collaboration. But I think also as well, I think it's, you know, the other thing for me with collaboration is it's educational. You know, it's learning different things about different sectors that perhaps you might not necessarily, you know, understand or you might not have a grasp of. And I think we're always forever learning, aren't we? You know, there's there's not a day goes by where we're not learning something about something different. And I think collaboration offers that as well.
No, I agree. And I think someone else has said to me that they see collaboration is like a win-win-win situation. And that's essentially what it is, isn't it? If it works well, everybody benefits from it. Yeah. So you don't have to reveal any identities, but have you got any kind of examples where collaboration has worked well for whether it's you or the firm or, things you've done in the past?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few, to be fair. I mean, in terms of Sheffield's, we're trying to build sort of trusted partners in the Leeds and Leicester areas that we talked about, where we've just sort of recently opened. But obviously that takes time. You've got to earn trust, and it doesn't come overnight. In Sheffield, we're kind of well respected and well known in terms of HR and employment law, and we have very strong relationships with a number of sort of people. In particular, we have which you probably think might not sit hand in hand with it, HR employment law, but it does. But there's an insolvency practice in Sheffield called Greywood. Quite often, when we're talking about people management issues with our clients, with business owners, we try and deal with the day-to-day mundane things that, they don't particularly want to deal with. But, unfortunately, and in the last sort of 18 months, there's been occasions where some clients have kind of sort of said, well, we're really struggling here. We might have to shut the doors. We might have to walk away. We deal a lot in hospitality, Mike. And obviously, as you know, that's a sector that's been massively, massively hit. And the way that Greywoods work with us, or we work with Greywoods, is although they're in an insolvency practice, they're not the Grim Reaper. They're not going around closing businesses down. Far from it. What they do is they would actually go in and talk to people, talk to business owners, and provide them different options of things that they might not have even thought of. And that for me is a great way to collaborate, because you've got a distressed client and all they can see is, I'm going to have to put the shutters down here. Yeah. All of a sudden, you introduce them to, again, a trusted partner who can then go in and talk to them about different options, and they come out of it a lot better, both physically, mentally, and financially than they went into that meeting. And that, for me, is a great way to collaborate. So, you wouldn't normally think an insolvency practice and an employment law firm is the direct, choice of collaboration, but it works. It really does work.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, actually. The collaborations with people who not necessarily obvious are really good, because most people, you ask them about who's good to collaborate with, they always mention accountants, most people. But they're eating, obviously, and that can be relevant, but there's all sorts of other things. But I guess the other flip side of it is people who do something similar or even the same as you, collaborations. Yeah. There's plenty of examples where that can work really well.
Absolutely. And through being part of the Northern Affinity, we've had a couple of conversations with, HR providers. Yep. Who on paper you would think, well, these guys are in competition, so why would I want to have a chat with that person? But there's always opportunities that you can pass through, and a great example of two HR employment law companies working together is, we would go into a client, they've got a real issue with a member of their staff. They need to have some mediation. We can't do that mediation because we're working potentially for the employer in that respect. So we need somebody externally to be able to go in there and carry out a mediation process. And the ideal person to do that is another HR employment law company. And so, there's absolutely ways of collaborating with people within your sector. And look, I mean, I always think there's enough business to go around for everybody, isn't there? You're not scrapping for business. There's enough business to go around, and equally, we get opportunities sent to us from other HR employment law companies, and again, that's a great way of collaborating.
No, that's great to hear, and I think that can work fantastically well. I've seen it loads and loads of the people I know that have worked together. Like I said, on paper, you think they're similar or the same businesses. So finally, on collaboration, what is the perfect, what would be the perfect collaboration partner for you? What would they look like? It might not be a, what, industry or anything like that, but kind of how would the relationship work?
I think when, you know, when you're dealing in the sector that we're dealing in, which is people management, you know, so companies that employ staff, you know, if there's another outsourced service provider that can provide a synergistic service or a completely different service to what we do. I know that might sound fairly broad, but that's a kindness of a business that we can quite easily collaborate with, you know. Even obscure sectors where you might sort of think, for example, haulage. How can a haulage business collaborate with an employment lawyer? You know, and it's one end of the spectrum to the other, isn't it, in terms of sector specifics and so on. But it can happen, you know, if they're employing people. I was speaking to a haulage company in Chesterfield a few months back. You know, had a real issue with drivers, hence the reason why we got involved and put some structure in place of that business, where hopefully now we've quashed and alleviated the problems that they were having. But then all of a sudden that sort of got talking about, well, you know, how can we help them? You know, are there other ways around helping that particular business? And, you know, he said, well, you know, we drive trucks, we move things from A to B, and that's pretty much what we do. You know, on the back of which, you know, I started talking to another transportation company, haulage company, gave them an introductory email, you know, look, you know, you guys might be able to sort of help each other. And so you've got one haulage company, then introduced to another haulage company, which has actually provided business for them both that they wouldn't have already got. So, you know, what would collaboration look like for me? What would be the ideal sort of partner? I think for me, you know, anybody that's willing to sort of sit down and have a chat to discover ways of collaborating, because there might not be, we're sat here this morning talking about these sort of things, but there might not necessarily be something that we've thought of that might be a way of collaborating with others. And it's only until you sit down and have those conversations that these things actually come out, you know. And so I don't think, from our point of view, I don't think that, yes, we could say, you know, there's the other professional services such as accountants, solicitors, and so on and so forth, are you know, on paper, you would assume that would be the ideal sort of partner for us, but that's not always the case. You know, sometimes you look for obscure partners that might add even more value to the service offering that you're providing. So anybody, I think, that sort of provides a service to industries that employ people, which is probably 99.9% of, you know, of companies out there, would be an ideal source.
Absolutely. I think one of the key things I've picked up from what you said there is yes, it matters what they do, of course, you know, because there's more relevant ones, of course, but actually it's more about the people that you're dealing with and the way they see it. Is actually more important than actually what they do, because there is opportunities with everybody. So I think that kind of fits nicely going into the next area, which is around values. So what values matter to you, Jason?
I think the first and foremost, it's doing the right thing, isn't it? You know, I think there's you know, this law is no different to any other industry out there. You know, you have good and bad practices. You know, you have good and bad in every industry. And law's no different. Surprisingly, you know, you would assume law is, you know, there's good in every aspect of law, but you know, unfortunately not. But I think it's doing the right thing by everybody, really, you know, and that's how, you know, yourself, that's how you grow your own business, you know, by doing the right thing and doing the right thing for your clients, doing your right thing for your employees as well. I would say that working in HR employment law, because we're all about doing the right thing for employees. But, you know, I look at our own sort of business and our own employees and how, you know, Jay Biani looks after her own staff, you know, is incredibly important. And it is doing the right thing. And I think for me, what I always like to do is you get to the end of the day or the end of the week and think, you know, I've done some good things this week or today. And that might not necessarily be, you know, or we've brought in, you know, loads of deals and loads of new clients and things like that. But just doing the right things, you know, in life and in business, I think is the most important thing. And that's, you know, if there's one trait that you'd learn your kids, and that's it, isn't it? You know, do the right things, you know, and that's, if you do the right things in life and business, you're not going far wrong, you know. And sometimes it might not be the right thing to do for me, for our firm.
Yeah.
It's the right thing to do for the clients, you know, and clients remember that for a long, long time. And if you talk about values and doing the right things and talk about collaboration and how to generate more business, I think it all stems from that. Because if you do the right things for your clients, you know, business will come to you, if that makes sense, you know, because they would be more than happy to refer you on to other people, because you're doing the right thing for them. They know that you're going to do the right thing for everybody else. So, you know, I think one of the things that I was taught at a very early age from my parents and education and so on is, you know, do the right thing, you know, 100%, and the rest of it will come.
Yeah, I think kind of the whole values discussion is a really interesting around your world, actually, around HR employment, because, you know, we've all probably heard various stories in the news over, especially in the last year or so, about maybe places that haven't done the best by their employees. And it's really kind of, I guess the pandemic has shone a light on it a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess that probably is part of your day-to-day work, is not, I don't know if educating correct values is maybe the right way of saying it, but to, when you're speaking to your clients, helping them bring out the best values of them for their employees. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? We only deal with good employers. You know, rogue traders won't deal with people like us, you know, because they don't necessarily want to do the right things, or they don't understand what the right things are. They'll do things their own way, and they'll continue to do that, no matter how many times you tell them, or, you know, how many people tell them to do this, that, and the other. You know, some companies are set in the ways and they'll do what they want to do, and that's fine. You know, I'm not knocking that. If that's their perception of how they want to run their businesses, then who am I to sit here and tell them different? Yep. You know, but clients that we deal with and people we have conversations with want to do the right thing, you know, and they're paying us, you know, they're paying us for our expertise to give them the help and advice that they need, you know, to do the right things by their employees and by their own clients themselves, you know. And so, yeah, I think in a HR employment law, you know, do the right thing is probably, I'm not one for strap lines, but if, you know, if there is such a thing as a strap line for our industry, then I've probably just come up with it. So if anybody wants to use that, then I'm quite happy to franchise it off, you know.
So I think over the last few years, even before the pandemic, but definitely accelerated by it, is that ethics and values and that type of thing has become more and more important for businesses in terms of how people perceive them, whether it's their clients, their customers, their employees. Have you noticed a change in businesses actually saying to themselves, look, we need to maybe make sure we do the right thing by our employees more than we have done before? Not that they've deliberately gone out of their way not to do that previously, but actually, you know, we've probably got a generation of people coming through now, especially the younger generation, who are very who ethics and social conscience is probably more important to them than it was to previous generations, including my own. Have you noticed a bit of a shift on that?
Yeah, I think definitely has. And you know, if you take an example of working from home, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, if a number of employees went to the managing director of business and said, you know, we want to split our week a little bit. Is there, you know, can we sort of work from home a few days a week? What would have been the answer? Categorically, no. No, absolutely not. You're in the office 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. You know, I crack the whip. This is what we do. But, you know, the pandemic's changed all that, hasn't it? And it's changed perception on not all businesses, because not all businesses can do that. You know, if you work in manufacturing or your hospitality or you know, healthcare and things like that, you can't do it. But, you know, for people that can, I think that's changed the perception of that. You know, we get a lot of employers now, a lot of our clients that would say, I'm quite happy now for, you know, my staff to sort of part work from home, get a better work-life balance, you know, probably be financially better off, because we talked earlier about, you know, you're not having to travel, you're not having to pay for parking. So financially better off, you've got a bit of a better work-life balance. You can, you know, spend more time with kids if they're at home, and, you know, so on and so forth. You can do all of that. But, you know, it's taken the pandemic, really, hasn't it, for, you know, a lot of employers to sit up and wake up and sort of say, well, you know what, I can actually trust my staff to go and do that. And, you know, from their point of view, from an employer point of view, if the productivity has not decreased any, and in some respects it might have increased, then why not? You know, and so I think the perception of work-life balance is something good that's come out of this pandemic, where, you know, a lot of employees now are able to, you know, be able to sort of carry out their day-to-day duties, but do it from the comfort of their own home, and they're not sort of having to, you know, we've all been there, haven't we, where we've been to the top of the M62 or M1 stuck in traffic on a morning, and, you know, that doesn't create a good mindset by the time you arrive at your desk.
No.
There is none of that anymore, you know. So yeah, I think there has been a mindset change for a lot of employers that, you know, we can do this and our business is not going to suffer. Probably in some respect, our business benefits from it. So why not? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting shift, and I think it's going to be for the better, as you quite rightly said. So finally, Jason, on our areas to talk about, aspirations. Now, this is my favourite area to discuss, I'll be honest. So what are your aspirations? What are your dreams, Jason? What would you like to do?
I'm the wrong side of 50, Mike, to be talking about aspirations, you know. What would I like to do? You know what? I just want to... I know this might sound a bit of a sort of a cliche, but, you know, and thing, I think, you know, we just talked about mindset, and I think your own personal mindset shifts as you go through life, doesn't it? You know, my aspirations... You know, my aspiration at 16, 17 years old when I left school was I wanted to be a redcoat at Butlins. You know, that was the dream job, you know, for me, and that was my aspiration. At 50, nearly 51 years old, it would fill me with dread now thinking about being a redcoat at Butlins, you know, and that's how things sort of change, you know. But I think as you sort of get older in life, you know, the aspirations turn more, for me, probably turn more toward my kids, my children, helping them, you know, create a better life for themselves. But, you know, you kind of become a little bit of a mentor to them and things like that. And I think, you know, from an aspirational point of view, that's what you want. You want to see your kids come through and do the right things, as we've been talking about. From a personal point of view, I think, you know, for the next sort of, well, I would hope sort of 10, 15 years before retirement. But by the time we get to that, retirement age is probably going to be 85. So I'm probably going to be working for another 35 years, to be honest.
Oh, well, that's a cheery thought, isn't it?
Isn't it? Just, yeah, you know, that's the thought itself. But you know, I think, you know, in the next sort of 10, 15 years, you know, you want to continue to do well. You want to continue to be successful. The great thing, I think, about Bionic Law at this moment in time, 6-7 years in, it's still our business is still it's still in its infancy in its own right. You know, it's 6-7 years old. You know, I want to help to continue to see that grow and, you know, and bring on other people, younger people, you know, in our business that, you know, can pull from your experience. And I think that's the next 10, 15 years for me is exactly that, you know, being part of an organization that continues to grow, continues to do well. And then hopefully you can leave a bit of a legacy, you know, when you do get to that 85 retirement age.
Well, I don't want to finish on that because that's not cheery. so question I always like to ask people to finish is, let's assume that everything goes perfectly in the next 5 years. So there's no bumps in the road and everything goes well. What do you think you'll be doing? What will you be doing day to day? You know, what will your world look like in 5 years' time?
Exactly the same as is now, Mike, to be fair, because, you know, I think, you know, you're always very fortunate to enjoy what you do. You know, if you love what you do and you enjoy your job and you know, you love where you work, you know, somebody once said to me, if you enjoy what you do, you're not going to do a day's work in your whole life. And you know, there's probably some truth in that, you know. But I think from my point of view, if I'm still doing what I'm doing in 5 years' time, you know, for the same company, and, you know, hopefully that's going to be the case, then I'll be quite happy to do that, you know, because I think you do often find, and a lot of, you know, a lot of our clients would say this as well, that sometimes you just fall into a company where you feel as though that's where you need to be, you know, that's where you belong, you know. We've all had jobs. I've had jobs in the past where, you know, it's just a job. You just get up, you go to work, you earn your money, you come home again, and that's it, you know. And that's quite a boring life to lead, isn't it? You know, and I think to be able to have that sort of environment where you do want to get up, you do want to go to work, you enjoy the role itself because you're helping people try and become a better employer, as we've just talked about there, but also enjoying the people that you're surrounded by. You know, if in 5 years' time that's ticking, still ticking all the boxes, then that's fine for me.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because it's one of my things I have a big thing on is that if you find something you love doing, and that might be your own business, it might be working someone else, it doesn't really matter, is that all of a sudden you forget about this work-life balance discussion, because actually it just becomes about life.
Yeah,
just like we all do stuff in our lives, don't we? Whatever that might be, and whether it's your family, your friends, it's social, it's work, and it's just all part of one big mix that you do. And you don't think about the balance, you just do it. I think that's kind of like the, to an extent, the ultimate position to be in.
Well, it is, and it's nice to kind of sort of be in that position, you know. And some people find that early on in their career, don't they? You know, some people find that in their 20s, you know, and that's absolutely great, you know. And yeah. whereas you know, others, probably me included, you know, you find it in your 40s, 50s, or whatever that sort of might be. But you know, it's a nicer thing to be. You know, you don't. The only way I describe it is, you know, sometimes when you have a job and you have that Sunday night sicky feeling, you know, not to have that is just a nice feeling to have, you know. And I think if you find a role, and listen, I never left school, college, university. Well, I never went to university. I'm a Barnsley lad, but you know, school and college, didn't have universities back in the 80s when I left school. But you know, back then, was my aspiration to, you are talking about aspiration. Was my aspiration ever to think I was going to work in HR employment law? Absolutely not. You know, far from it. I never even thought about employment law and HR and things like that. But you know, all of a sudden, you find some kind of sector and a role and a company. If all those sort of three things fit and tick all the boxes, then you're right. You know, it doesn't then become a job, does it? You know, it just becomes part of your life. And you know, get paid to do something you enjoy doing is quite a nice feeling to have, you know.
No, and I think that's a fantastic place to finish, actually, Jason. I know, kind of, I'll back you up on that. I actually enjoy Sunday nights. I look forward to Sunday nights because I know Monday's coming. I quite like that. So once you're in that position, it's a nice position to be. So just finally, Jason, if anyone wants to find out a little bit more or contact you or the company, where's the best places to look?
Yeah, I mean, you can, bayarnilaw.co.uk is our website. So that'll tell you, you know, a lot about what we do. You know, there's all of our mugshots on there as well. And I think if you click on the mugshot, it'll give you access to our email. So you can email us, you know, LinkedIn, you know, is obviously a great sort of social media platform that we use. So, you know, people can see us and myself on there. But absolutely, yeah, just sort of get in touch, you know, if people want to chat or, you know, need some help with HR on employment law, or even, you know, if people are watching this and you think, well, there's a company that we can collaborate with, then let us know. You know, we're always happy to have a conversation and see how we can collaborate and help each other. So yeah, you know, websites, social media platforms, always the best places to look. Type in Jason Thelwell on Google, apparently he comes up with me and a chief fire officer in Essex somewhere. So just make sure you get the right case. Well, I can't put out any fires. Well, I probably could, actually. Yeah, HR employment law. That's what we do. We put out fires.
Yeah, he does it literally, and you do it metaphorically. Yeah, thank you so much, Jason. That's great, and I really enjoyed this conversation. So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, cheers, Mike.
Thank you very much for listening to the latest episode of the Northern Affinity podcast. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you about aspirations, about collaboration, and about what your values are. So you can directly contact me. My email address is michael@thenorthernaffinity.co.uk. Or we are all over social media platforms, so you'll be able to find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. All you need to do is search for The Northern Affinity, and I'm sure you'll be able to find us. One last ask from me, if you could possibly share this episode, if you've enjoyed it, with people who you may also think would find it useful. If you could rate, review and subscribe as well, we really, really would appreciate that. So again, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time on the Northern Affinity podcast.